You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. It's Fed Day, the dreaded Fed Day, where you can expect a 75 basis point hike in the Fed's fund rate. Well, already mortgage rates up over 6% on 30-year fixed mortgages. Hope you're like me and Andy and you bought your house when they were still down at 3%, because that's what we did. I warned you guys. I told you, buy the house now. Regardless what the Fed does, we're going to have inflation. It's baked in the cake for years and years to come. And here's one of my favorite inflation fighters, Andy Schechtman, Miles Franklin, Precious Metals. Andy, great to have you back. So I know you're waiting with bated breath for the 2 o'clock announcement, huh?
Yeah. I think that, you know, whether it's 75 basis points or they try to shock and awe the market with 100 basis points, you know, it's all spitting in the ocean, Carrie. At 9% nearly CPI tick, which, you know, we've just been told that gasoline, electricity, and food could double over the next year. Well, those items aren't even calculated in the CPI. And if we were to talk with our friend John Williams of Shadow Stats, and he would show us the way that inflation used to be calculated prior to 1980 in the CPI, when they changed the metrics to be able to meet their inflationary agenda. Inflation right now is double digit, closer to 18% than it is to 8 or 9%. So, you know, and just in your open comment about the mortgage rates, look, the federal funds rate has only gone up to 75 basis point, yet the latest numbers on the 30-year mortgages, it's over 6.1% on average. From a year ago, it was 3%. Over the last 6 months, those rates are up 40%. And in the process, we've seen the housing affordability drop to the lowest level ever. And we've seen new mortgage applications, mortgage demand,
greater,
the lowest it's ever been in 22 years. And this is with the Fed raising it only 75 basis points from 0 to 0.75%. If they raise it to 1.5% today, like JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs thinks they will, 1.5%, you're still in a real sense negative by as much as 7% when factored against inflation. So are they really getting tough on inflation? You know, all along they told us, first they told us it was transitory. We knew that was a lie. Then they said, well, we should probably get rid of that and call it structural. And once they realized it wasn't transitory, why did they continue to add to their balance sheet? And when they said they're going to start to sell their balance sheet off here in July or the end of June, why wait? Why not have done it in March or in April or in May? So they're not getting tough on it. But the market, on the other hand, is so far over leveraged in every capacity, stocks, bonds, and real estate, that just a 75 basis point move, or 0.75%, moving up to 1.5% or negative real terms, almost 7%, is enough to start to crack the markets. You're already seeing it in the mortgage market. What's next? The stock market, the bond market, they're coming. And I think people are looking at this all wrong. You remember Paul Volcker, what did he do? With double digit inflation, he raised the federal funds rate to 19.75%. That's getting tough on inflation. That's getting real tough. Problem is now, with the debt burden and the overvaluation of all of the markets, you raise rates high enough, it's the Klaus Schwab moment where everything collapses. It's the Great Reset. And I have another idea of how that happens independent of the Fed. But nonetheless, the topic du jour is of the Fed today. And I guess if I had to think of one word to me that describes the position the Fed is in, I would call it impotent. They're screwed. If they raise rates, it's death by depression. If they don't raise rates and they continue to inflate, it's death by hyperinflation. They're backed into a corner and they're in trouble. So I guess it'll be interesting to see how it all folds up, unfolds, Carrie. But I'm not a pessimistic person. I don't believe in doom and gloom. But I, for the first time in my 32-year career, I'm concerned. I'm scared. I don't see a way out of this with any semblance of a soft landing.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more, Ed. I mean, I've watched the dissembling, the lies, the propaganda, all of this. It just reminds me of in 08 when John McCain was running for president and he said, the economy is fundamentally sound. Well, the economy hasn't been fundamentally sound for most of my life. We've been teetering from one disaster to the next, And this will no doubt be no different. But going back to inflation, just did a piece a couple of days ago. Electricity rates are going to double within the next 18 months. So yeah, I love having the Tesla on the app. It shows me how much money I'm saving in gasoline. But I know that my charging costs are going to double. My AC and all that stuff, everything I do is going to go up, going to double in the next. It's baked in the cake. There's nothing they can do to stop it. And electricity, the biggest users are industrial, commercial. So all the costs, and it might not be that big an amount as far as the percentage of costs of doing all this, but it is a major cost, energy, and it's all going up. So, you know, the one thing you could do, buy precious metals. Also, you could buy these stocks who are going to be the beneficiaries of inflation. Soundly managed utilities, electrical utilities, particularly in the South, where you have population growth and where the real estate bust is not going to have as big an impact because people are still moving down here. The great migration is underway. Whether they're buying homes or they're renting them, they're still coming. And I don't see anything that's going to change that, Andy.
Well, I agree. I do agree. And a lot of the people that are moving to Florida have the ability to pay cash after selling their homes up north or wherever they're coming from. But, you know, the affordability rate is if you would have bought your house today versus last year, and the same thing with me, I moved here. I closed on our house May 1st of last year. You're talking doubling of the cost, literally a doubling in the cost of money. And, you know, I think not only that, you've seen the house values dramatically increase. And it's an interesting phenomenon where, look, I think it's important to understand that never before in history have we had so many markets being so overvalued. And never before in history has there been such a massive debt overhang. And so as rates rise, at some point, this everything bubble has to correct. And the sad thing about it that people don't really quite realize, I don't think of the public at large, is that all three of these asset classes, stocks, bonds, and real estate, which represent the majority of the wealth in this country, are all inversely correlated to a rise in rates. They've been blown up to extraordinary proportions through the easy money and the interest rate programs of the Fed. And that's this overvaluation bubble that we see. But as rates rise, those three asset classes become roadkill as they are inversely correlated. This is a scary thing. And let's remember one thing, because I'm so sick and tired of Biden saying this is the Putin price increases. Okay. And it's just such bullshit. It drives me crazy. Let's remember what Milton Friedman said. He said, inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon. In other words, general price inflation results from central banks printing too much money. It has nothing to do with Putin. It has nothing to do with the supply chain issues. Yes, that exacerbates it. It exacerbates it because you have all of this money that's been created and the supply chain problems give you less product. So you have more money chasing less stuff. So that's the exacerbation of it. But the increase of the money supply that the Fed has done shamelessly and recklessly has put us in this position. And I don't know. I think it's time to buckle up a little bit, Carrie, because I think that there are a lot of forces that will push interest rates up independent of the Fed. And the biggest one that I am most concerned about, and you know, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I am the only one talking about this. I scour the internet. No one talks about the loss of the dollar's petrol reserve status. The fact that Nigeria is selling their oil, the second biggest OPEC producing country in the world, selling their oil to China for yuan. The fact that Saudi Arabia is in negotiations with China to sell their oil in yuan. The fact that Russia is doing the same thing. The fact that Russia is selling arms to India in ruble and yen. The fact that Russia is selling their oil for ruble or gold, not ruble or yen, but excuse me, ruble or rupee. And the fact that they're now selling their oil for ruble or gold. The fact that you have the Chinese Belt Road Initiative, 80% of human population being connected. And now you're seeing the same thing happen between Iran and Russia, a route that will allow safe passage all the way through between Iran, Russia, and India. What you are witnessing is de-dollarization. What you are witnessing is the infrastructure to sidestep the dollar for settlement in oil. And let's remember that the U.S. represents roughly 10 to 15% of global population. That means 85 to 90% of the world has to own dollars because it's the petrodollar, as the agreement we struck with Saudi Arabia. But what did Saudi Arabia and Russia do? They struck a joint military cooperation agreement. The same thing Nigeria did with Russia. Nigeria is part of the Belt Road Initiative. That means they're also being protected by China. You are witnessing the opening salvo, if I had to guess, of the dollar being sidestepped as the preliminary and main source for settlement for OPEC. And when that happens, when OPEC makes that announcement that, hey, it's time for us to open up to other currencies, to the yen, to yuan, to the ruble, to the euro, bang, all of that money that's in every corner of the globe because they need it in order to buy oil. Remember, that was the deal that Kissinger struck with the Saudi kingdom in 1974. We'll protect you. Before that protection, you need to value oil globally in dollars through OPEC. And it's been that way since 74 until now. So the weaponizing of the dollar, pushing Russia out of SWIFT, opened the gates, I think, to the rest of the world saying, shit, are we next? China's already talking about Taiwan. Are they next? So I think these countries have been incentivized to find alternatives, whether it be the SIPS, the cross-interbank payment system, which mirrors the SWIFT, whether it be the Belt Road Initiative, 75 to 80% of human population, all settling on the Chinese digital yuan. Whatever route you want to look at, whatever set of facts you want to look at, to me, the Fed is impotent. The Fed can't do anything. The Fed is jawboning. If they were serious about getting tough on inflation, they would have sold off their balance sheet months ago. They would have raised rates much more than 50 or 75 basis points. How about 200 or 300 or 400 basis points? That's getting serious on inflation. But they know the minute they cross that bridge, and my number in the sand is 4% on the 10-year treasury. Once that happens, the markets start to implode. And that's where the betting money says, they come back in, reverse course, accommodate and ease. And when that happens, they have lost all credibility globally. And that incites, in my opinion, a global currency crisis.
Yes, no doubt it's coming. And we're just getting a portent of things. So, is gold the answer? Because gold hasn't been doing well. And it looks like it could go substantially lower, at least in the near future. It'll be interesting to see what the announcement of the Fed, how that affects metals prices. Right now, as we're speaking on the spot, gold is up about $12, silver 44 cents the ounce. So how does that affect precious metals?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Osino Resources is a Ross Beatty-backed gold exploration company in mining-friendly Namibia. Osino's district-scale land package is situated near two producing gold mines, one of which Osino's management team previously developed and sold to B2 Gold. Osino's founders and management are experienced mining professionals who have already successfully developed and sold two companies in the past 7 years. Osino has a tight share structure, and with its current treasury, it can self-fund the advancement of its gold discovery into at least 2022. This is an exploration company with drills turning that you'll definitely want to pay attention to. Osino trades in New York under the ticker OSIIF and in Toronto under the ticker OSI. To learn more, go to osinoresources.com. That's osinoresources.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Gold is doing what it's supposed to do. Gold preserves purchasing power. And if you look at all of the markets, the major indices year to date, you got the Dow down almost 14%, the S&P down almost 20%, the NASDAQ down almost 30%, the Russell 2000, which is a much broader indication of the economy as the big multinational companies are stripped out of there. This is the mid to small to mid-sized companies that make the economy. That's down 20%. Bitcoin down 35%, Ethereum down almost 60%. So everything is down, yet gold is up about 1% or 2%. So in this environment, Carrie, and I truly mean this, you know, I learned a lot from what I believe to be my mentor, Richard Russell. And Richard was a very smart man. Right. And he always said in a period like we are entering, he or she who loses least wins. You know, you talk about, is gold the place? You got David Einhorn from Greenhorn Capital said that gold is the choice to fighting inflation as things start to move up. Now, there's always this conventional wisdom that when there's so much margin debt out there right now, and when you see things like this happen and markets start to crumble, that you throw out the baby with the bad bathwater, you sell the good to pay for the bad. And maybe that's true. I've always thought it's bullshit, quite frankly. I think what it is more of the same. The commercial and the central banks holding down the price of gold in the midst of chaos. You look at every time there's been chaos, from declaring war all the way back to the first Gulf War, and anything horrible that's ever happened in the economy or geopolitically since, the first thing they do, bam, they smash the shit out of gold. Why? Because it's the canary in the mine shaft. Don't look here. Everything's going to be fine. Just keep on going. That's what they want you to think. But look at what gold did today. It's right back up to where they smashed it down leading up into this announcement. It's the exact same thing that they always do. They know that they're going to come in and gold's going to spike today at 3 o'clock. You watch, it'll spike. But they wanted to smash it well below 1800 on gold, or they tried to, they couldn't quite get it there, and below into the 21s or 20s in silver, because they know that the minute this information comes out on the FOMC meeting, that gold will rise. So, you know, it's like cutting off its legs at the knees before it even gets a chance to go. So I don't know, Carrie, I think gold is the place to be. I think look at it the other way. Where else do you put your money? Equities, real estate, bonds, cryptocurrencies are all getting decimated. And in the light of rising interest rates will continue to get decimated. And the reason cryptos, I lump into that, is that they're so incestuously tied to Wall Street. Look at this Michael Saylor. At $20, and we're right there almost on Bitcoin, he gets a $200 million margin call because he borrowed $200 million to buy Bitcoin. And when it gets to 20, it's margin call time. Now we're right above that. I mean, all of this stuff on leverage, courtesy of low interest rates by the Fed. And what he did is exactly why the markets are blown up. The people who didn't need the money, the hedge funds, they were able to borrow money at next to nothing, blow up asset prices, make huge bonuses, and create distortions and misallocations in capital and resources that made all these assets extraordinarily overvalued. And when it starts to correct, or when it does correct, as rates rise or the air is let out of the bubble, you have a long way to go to reach fair value, because price discovery is dead in all assets, including gold.
True.
But I will simply just say this, gold is doing its job. It's holding its own as everything else is getting the crap beat out of it.
Hey, and man, we both are big followers of cryptos. You know, I have small crypto position. I sold off a lot of it a couple months ago and don't have any regrets. And I'm just waiting for when Bitcoin goes below 19,700, which was its peak in 2017, December of 2017, which I happen to have called that, as well as its last peak at 67 or 69,000. Once it breaks there, 14,000 is in view. Where it goes from there, I'm not going to hazard a guess, but everything's getting killed. And what you describe with free money is basically classic principle of Austrian economics called malinvestment. And when you have artificially low interest rates, risk perceived risk of all of these different investment classes goes way, way down, and then people lever up, and then the malinvestment comes home to roost. And that's what we're seeing now. So care to hazard a guess in a year where you think precious metals will be?
You know, it's tough. I think ultimately gold and silver go higher than anyone thinks possible, but be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
I think that comes at the expense of the dollar, really, as it starts to crater. But and I don't know. I think making a guess is only just a guess. A guess, I don't know. Gold could very easily be $3,000 an ounce by the end of the year. Will it be? Don't know. Silver ought to be well over 30. Will it be? I don't know. But you can see, look, if you look at the massive amount of accumulation by the central banks, and a couple of the central banks caught my attention in terms of their massive acquisition. And it's the European central banks that are not part of the euro, the Eastern Bloc central banks. And these are the same ones that in 2017 followed the German Bundesbank and repatriated all of their gold from the New York Fed and the Bank of England. And I think that if you take a look at the way that Russia and India and China, all of the big governments opposite the dollar, opposite the U.S. have been accumulating gold over the last several years, it only I think exacerbates that. But when you look at the banks like Poland, like the Czech Republic, these banks are increasing their gold holdings tenfold this year, and others as well. But these are the ones that I think really caught my eye, let alone India's imports jumped 677% from a year ago, May, if you compare May this year versus May last year. But Poland, the Czech Republic, and Hungary have been massively accumulating gold. And these are the countries that I think they get it. They get it more than the Euro countries do. And so they are all de-dollarizing. Where is it going to go? I don't know. But you can see the preparation by the biggest gold accumulators in the world, the central banks, that gold has something to do with what's coming next. And when you realize it was reclassified a tier one reserve asset in 2019, it only crystallizes, I think, gold's future. Now, silver is a little bit of a wild card here. You know, they have a 90% correlation in movement for the last 5,000 years. How does silver play out? I don't know. Silver is a better value than gold, assuming that it follows gold's trajectory. But the bottom line is simply this. When you see over the past 7 years, the amount of central bank investment and acquisition of gold, and when you see gold reclassified tier one quietly, the only other tier one asset in the world next to US dollars, it tells me if you don't own gold, you are making a huge mistake. And if everything you own is in dollars and US-based assets, you're destined to go broke. That I do believe. As far as where it stops, how high it goes, I don't know. The one thing I have learned in 33 years worth of business, there's one absolute, and that is markets go higher to the upside than anyone ever thinks possible, just like the Dow Jones did when I started in 1990, it was 2100. And at the same time, bear markets fall further than anyone thinks possible. When I started, the Nikkei was nearly 40,000. And here we are, you know, 30 plus years later, and the Nikkei is not even two thirds of what it was, with interest rates at or near zero the entire time. So don't know where it's going to go, Kerry, but I think ultimately higher than people will imagine. And most of this country will be caught drastically off guard by gold and silver's performance in the light of a falling dollar. It's not that gold and silver are going to go parabolic. I think it's the dollar that's going to run into trouble.
All right. Well, that remains to be seen, but you certainly make a compelling case. If people want to contact you, buy metal from you, best way to go about that?
Well, our new website is less than 30 days away from launching, I hope, and it'll allow people to hop on to see live prices and to do some purchasing in real time. In the meantime, we're still old school, the way we've been for 32 years. You send us an email at info@MilesFranklin, put the Financial Survival Network, or Kerry sent me, in the subject line. We'll send you an up-to-date current inventory. Our prices will be as good as anywhere in the country. We've never had a customer complaint, and we're licensed and bonded. I promise you, your listeners won't be the first. But in that email, If you have questions, let us know. One of myself or one of my brokers will reply to you with that price list. We'll answer your questions and we'll contact you if you wish to be contacted and make it a good experience all the way around, from education to price and everything in between.
Yeah, which is really important if you've never purchased metal before. A, the trust factor, because you're going to be paying for something in advance, and there's all too many incidences that you and I have seen since you've been in business, Andy, where people pay and then they're stealing from Paul to pay Peter and Peter to pay Paul, and eventually the musical chairs game stops and they get nothing. I only buy metal from Miles Franklin, so you can trust Andy. That much I can tell you. Hey, if you got a question, comment, shoot me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. Andy, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again soon.
Likewise, my man. Stay well, Kerry, and look forward to picking up where we left off.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.